The government's carving more than $100 million out of the school lunch program, but says even more kids will get a free feed. The revamped program's guaranteed funding for the next 2 years at a cost of $478 million. The scheme stays the same in primary schools for now, but there are changes on the menu at secondary level. The government will use its bulk buying power to purchase discounted food and supplies, which will then be distributed to schools, rather than relying on the current 156 school lunch suppliers. The aim is to cut the average price of a lunch from more than $8 to $3. Part of the savings will be used to expand the program to feed 10,000 2 to 5 year olds at selected early childhood centres. I caught up with Associate Education Minister David Seymour partway through his own lunch, and he explained what secondary students can expect.
So it's going to look a lot like the menu for the other 75% of students whose parents are putting items in their lunchbox, fruit, sandwiches, snack bars, the kind of things that you would see from KidsCan, who currently do school lunches supported by charity and have done for 18 years. It's going to look a bit more or less like what their peers are getting at other schools that actually aren't eligible for the Healthy School Lunch Program.
You described what they were previously getting as extravagant in some cases. So is this going to be a little bit pared back?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, the government's been spending $8.60 per student at some high schools. They've got 156 different suppliers supplying relatively small amounts of food per supplier. And as a result, they've had very high costs that are actually, high compared to what most parents would spend on their kids' lunch, and probably higher than what a lot of adults budget for their lunch each week.
Did you think about ditching high school students from the scheme altogether, given your focus on younger students?
Well, I think where we got to is that there is some demand for the scheme. We're in a coalition government where some of our partners would be nervous about not continuing it. Well, I hope I've contributed.
But did you want to get rid of it, Minister, the high schools from the scheme? Was that what you were pushing for?
Well, put it this way, as a minister, I'm committed to the government policy. Obviously, we considered all sorts of options.
Was that one of them?
Yeah, absolutely. We lay it all out and say, where could we go? You owe it to the taxpayer and the citizen to consider all the options in government.
Was it your coalition partners who said no to that?
Well, I think what you got is a trio of partners who have differing views on different issues, but together we've come together with a plan that it will continue the scheme, will keep the nutrition going, and I'm very proud to saved $107 million a year so far, and we're going to keep asking for efficiency to hopefully save the taxpayer even more while getting the result for the children. And bear in mind, we're also expanding the scheme slightly to the 10,000 most impoverished 2 to 5 year old children at early childhood education centres, and that's based on evidence from the likes of Professor Sir Peter Gluckman, who will tell you that if you want to spend taxpayer money on food for children, you have a much bigger effect if you give it to them at the age of 2 or 3 in their first 1,000 days than you will if you're giving it to them when they're 17 or 18.
Will high schools keep free lunches while you are minister?
Well, it depends how long I'm minister, I guess, but certainly...
What's your intention?
Certainly up to the next election, it will. And during that period, I will be asking those questions about the various types of food and schools provision, whether they are really the right way to do it, whether they have clear objectives for the taxpayer money spent, and whether those goals are being reached.
Ideally, you would like...
We're going to ask those questions.
Minister, is it fair to say, ideally, you would like it gone from high schools because you believe the responsibility is a parental one?
I think that we should be in a world where parents are able to provide for their kids and willing to and do so. However, what we also see in the case of the early childhood package is that there are some kids who aren't doing that. I just question whether it's 25% or currently actually 27% because it's crept up slightly. 27% of kids need to have the government provide them lunch. I'm not sure that's true. Part of the reason we have a lot of waste and surplus is because they don't actually want it. They would opt out if they could. And there are multiple different people feeding food into schools from different parts of society and even three different government departments doing it. I think once you look at those questions, you can find your way to a much smaller engagement by government and probably better outcomes for everyone in the long term.
Appreciate your time, Minister. Thank you very much. Just one more question. Were you eating something when you started this interview?
Yes, and it was a cookie from the cafeteria at the Parliament, and it's a good example of the kind of shelf-stable food that might just be available as part of the Healthy School Lunch Program in the future.
Is it a healthy cookie, Minister?
Look, I've got to admit, I haven't evaluated it for its nutritional value, and that's exactly why we're getting people like the Heart Foundation involved in checking what sort of food's ordered and what sort of nutrition. You might want me as a politician or you might not, but you certainly wouldn't want me as your doctor or nutritionist.
And that was David Seymour there, Minister in charge of the school lunch program, talking about shelf-stable cookies. Which could be among the foods that the government is buying in bulk.